more.
Hey there, I'm Christine, and I'm so excited to welcome you to the Equip and Empower podcast. Now, my prayer is that our time together each week encourages you, awakens you to the purposes of God in your life, and activates you to follow Jesus wholeheartedly as you live on mission for Him. I am so grateful that you've joined us again this week. We're wrapping up a series of the fact that it's going to take faith for you and I to be able to be faithful Christ followers, faithful apprentices of Jesus in this day and in this hour. Then it's going to take faith, and you're going to have faith. And I believe that the Holy Spirit's got a word for you today, and He's going to strengthen us to continue in our faith walk. You know, we've been looking at John chapter 6, and I love this passage of scripture in the Bible because it starts off so exciting. I mean, we have got the miracle of the loaves and fishes, and all of us, who doesn't love the miracles of God? I mean, a little boy gives 5 loaves, 2 fish, and 20,000 people on a mountainside are fed. I love that about Jesus. Jesus just has a way of making a little go a really, really long way. He has a way of making something out of nothing. I want to remind you today that impossible is where God starts. I want to remind you today that miracles are what God does. Faith is the currency of heaven, and faith moves mountains. Faith moves God. When God is moved, God moves mountains on our behalf. And so it starts with this exciting story about the fact that Jesus supernaturally feeds multitudes on a mountainside. And we see right from the outset of John chapter 6, the crowds always followed. Wherever Jesus went, crowds were there. And so the crowds got so excited about this miracle working God that they thought, you know what, we want to follow Him. This guy is our king. They wanted to crown Him as king. Jesus, knowing that they were going to crown Him as king, He actually goes and hides from them because He's like, this is not my time. And you know, most of us, we want to run into the limelight. Jesus is like, you know what, I'm getting out of the limelight. He goes across to the other side. The crowd jumps in a boat and begins to follow Him. And wherever Jesus went, the crowds followed. It was like amazing. He didn't even need a brand strategist. He didn't need to get social media experts in. He was just God. Signs, wonders, miracles, wherever He went, the crowd followed Him. But He gets to the other side. Then He begins to give what we call the bread of life discourse. And I mean, this is like if you know, and I get it, if you're not a Jesus follower and you're reading this, you're like, kind of, what is this? Is this like a cannibalistic kind of faith? We're talking about eating, you know, my body and drinking my blood. And we start to go, whoa. But we see from that text that Jesus is saying all these followers that loved Him because of His signs and His wonders and His miracles, He's saying, no, there's a deeper level to all of this. It's not just following me because of everything I can do for you or because you think you're going to get what you want. God's not like a sugar daddy. He's not like a, you know, a penny in a slot in kind of like, let's just put some money in, bang, pull that lever and I'm going to get what I want. That's not what Christianity is. And unfortunately, some of us are extremely disappointed with God because we were sold some kind of Christianity that is sort of like, come to God and you can have whatever you want. That's nowhere in scripture. Jesus is telling them that to follow me, that comes with great cost. It comes with great cost and great persecution and great suffering and great sacrifice. And this same crowd that was following Him everywhere, man, when they were getting what they wanted, when they were seeing the miracles, when they were seeing the signs and the wonders, when they thought that He was king and they were going to go and have some kind of war, they were so happy. And a lot of us, we follow Jesus, man, when it suits us, when we're getting what we want, when it just seems like my needs, when it just seems so awesome for me. But then Jesus presses on a place and says, well, there's going to be some cost and some sacrifice and some commitment. Some of us begin to just go, whoa, whoa, nobody told me about this. Or when it gets hard or when we get persecuted in the world in which we live in today, you know, it's not that cool to be a Christian. For some people, they could follow Jesus while it was cool to be a Christian. But then all of a sudden, when you're ridiculed at work or you're ridiculed at college or you're ridiculed at school or you're ridiculed in the public square because you believe in the exclusivity of Christ, you believe in the inerrancy of Scripture, you believe that eternity is all dependent on a man that died 2,000 years ago and rose from the dead. I mean, when people think, are you cray-cray? You believe this stuff. You know, it's not that popular to follow Jesus in the 21st century in the Western world and in many other parts of the world like it used to be. And a lot of us, it was easy to go with the crowd when it was comfortable, when it was convenient, when it seemed like I could get what I want. But when we're talking about cost, when we're talking about sacrifice, when we're talking about suffering, when we're talking about persecution, when we're talking about no longer being part of the cool crowd because it's just not cool. We live in a very secular world. We live in a very humanistic world. We live in a very scientific, rational world. We live in a postmodern, post-Christian, post-everything world where it's cool to be anything but a Christian. What is our testimony going to be like in those days? What is our witness going to be like in those days? Are we still going to be salt and light? Are we still going to be able to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit and exhibit love in a world that is loveless, joy in a world that is just so lacks joy, hope in a hopeless world, self-control in an out-of-control world, patience in a world that's impatient about everything, kindness in a really, really mean world, goodness in a really, really harsh world? Are you and I going to be those kinds of Christians that go, okay, we're going against the flow. Yep, even a dead fish can swim downstream, but you've got to have some life. You've got to have some tenacity. You've got to have some strength to go counter the flow. And so Jesus says, the kind of Christianity I'm talking about, it's an all-in Christianity. It's not a cool Christianity. It's an all-in one. You must eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. I'm going to consume every part of your being. I'm not an add-on to different aspects of your life. I consume all of your life. It's not me. It's not you in the center and then just add a little bit of Jesus on Sunday, add a little bit of Jesus during my quiet time, add a little bit of Jesus when it's convenient. No. It's Jesus at the center and everything else, our time, our talent, our treasure. Everything else comes out of the centrality of being consumed in Jesus. And so when he started saying that in John 6:66, the Bible says that many turned away. Many turned away and went, I didn't sign up for this. I signed up for an easy Christianity. I signed up for a trendy Christianity. I signed up for a cool Christianity. Man, when everything was going well at church, when everything was going well at youth, oh, that's what I signed up for. But this Christianity that costs, this Christianity that is going to get in my business and I'm actually going to have to change, and it's going to require the primacy in my time, in my talent, in my treasure, that kind of Christianity that asks me to take up my cross and follow him, that kind of Christianity that says I've got to die daily, that kind of Christianity that says I've got to crucify my flesh to follow him, I'm out of here. And the Bible says in John 6:66 that day many turned away. Many turned away, not just some, but many disciples walked away. I always joke, Jesus was unfollowed before there was an unfollow button on Twitter or on Instagram. Jesus was unfollowed before there was any social media. But you don't see Jesus chasing them. You don't see Jesus going, hang on, let me water it down. Let me lower the requirements. Let me just change some of the things that you have to believe. I want this to suit your life. Never does he say that. He says, no, this is it. This is it. And to follow me, it's just going to take it all. And then he says to his disciples, are you guys going to bail too? And I think we're in a time on the earth where there's a lot of us and the pressure's on. The pressure is on. To believe what we believe, to follow Jesus, to stay true to Jesus, to the exclusivity of Christ, that he says, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. To maintain a Christian sexual ethic in this world, to build our life on the truth of the scripture in this world, to have faith in a world that thinks we're cray-cray for believing what we believe. So Jesus is like, to his followers, his disciples, are you going to go too? And Peter, who I love, I so identify with Peter because I'm a little bit like him, very rash and very opinionated and very wrong often. He says to Peter, and Peter says, look, where else would I go? And I'm asking you today, as we've tuned in. Where else would we go? I say this to Jesus all the time. Despite times of being disappointed and how painful it is at times to follow Jesus, the truth is, where else would I go? There is no other Savior. After 30 years, I have to tell you, even when I haven't understood what He's done, and the times when, in fact, I've understood Him the least, when I've known that He could have changed what He didn't in a relationship, He could have intervened in some area, He could have stopped the pain I went through, but He didn't. The times when I've been most disappointed and discouraged and disillusioned, when, man, I have felt hurt, I have felt rejected, I felt abandoned, I have felt misunderstood or falsely accused. When I've cried and yelled in frustration and said, God, where are you? Why did you let this happen? You could have stopped this. But you know, I couldn't leave Him because there is no replacing Him. There is no one like Jesus. There is no man. There is not a woman. There is not a child. There is not a belief system. There is not an organization or a political candidate. There's not a celebrity who is Jesus or who can do what only Jesus can do. There is no other Savior. I don't know what you're looking for. You're not going to find another Savior in a person or a thing or a title or a position or how much you've acquired or how much you've accumulated or how much you've amassed. You're not going to find it in any other guru, in any other belief system. It's the words of Jesus alone that are freedom. I would rather have Jesus than answers. To whom would I go? Listen, if I want my sins forgiven, where else am I going to go? If I want eternal life, where else can I go? If I want my guilt removed, and any of you that understand like I do, I came from a background of sexual abuse, a background of brokenness. There are so many regrets in my life. But if I want that guilt and that shame removed, there's nowhere else I can go. That extra glass of wine isn't going to do it. Popping that extra pill isn't going to do it. Trying to, acquire or amass a whole lot of things, it is not going to take the shame. It is not going to take the guilt. We see it time and time again. There's nowhere else to go. Only Jesus can take that. If I want to find lasting purpose in life, then where else am I going to go? Outside of my eternal purpose in Christ, ultimately nothing else will satisfy. And if I want to find hope in my life, there is nowhere else to go. If I want to be fully loved, where else can I go? So many of us jumping in from one bed to the next, hoping that that person's going to love you, hoping that person's going to see you, hoping that person's going to know you. But only Jesus can fully know us. Only Jesus can fully love us. Only Jesus can fully understand us. So if I want to be fully seen, if I want to be fully known, where else can I go? If I want true freedom, where else can I go? True freedom is only ultimately found in Christ, only in Christ. Can I just say that all of this, ultimately, it is about our trust. See, a lot of us, we go to church on Sunday, we read the Bible. Maybe we even live pious Christian lives, but we don't really trust God. And the kind of life that Jesus is inviting us into in John chapter 6 is an all of life Christianity, not Jesus plus, but Jesus is the goal. And that means we're going to have to let go of our agendas, let go of the things in the natural that we trust, that we put our hope in, that we put our faith in. So I want you to know, these are difficult days. Being a follower of Jesus Christ, a true follower, a true disciple, a true apprentice of Jesus, it's not any easier in the 21st century than it was in the first century. And the fact is, we've gotten so used to our comfort and our convenience and the ease of following Jesus. Our brothers and sisters in so many other nations of the earth, in China and in the Middle East and various regions of Asia, We can learn so much in the Western world from our brothers and sisters in these regions of the world because it wasn't easy or trendy or cool for them to lay down their lives and pick up their cross and follow Jesus. For many, it has been an issue of life and death. Our brothers and sisters all over the world are being martyred daily, daily for the faith in Jesus Christ. But we in the West, we often see a little bit of inconvenience as persecution. We think I'm being persecuted, which really what we mean is I've been inconvenienced. And yet Jesus did not budge in John chapter 6. He gave a very strong teaching and a very strong call to commitment. And then when they unfollowed him, he didn't go chasing them. He didn't dilute it. He didn't water it down. He just said, that's what it is. And I believe he's looking for those kind of followers today. That's where the abundant life is. That's where the joy is. That's where the peace is. It's an all of life Christianity, not a part-time Christianity on Sunday, not a add Jesus to your own life. That's why you feel so frustrated, because you haven't been all in. Can I just say, it takes faith to keep following Jesus, especially in this world. It takes faith to trust Jesus when you don't understand what's going on. I could tell you this. There are so many things that happen I don't understand. Why did you allow this to happen? I come from a background of abuse. I'm like, God, you could have stopped that. Why did you allow that to happen? We see so much pain and injustice all around the world. I help to rescue the victims of human trafficking. So often I'm like, I don't understand how this goes on. I don't understand, God, why you allowed this to go on. For most of us, we don't understand the pain and suffering in the world today. And we walk away from Jesus because we don't understand. But can you trust him even when you don't trace him? And that's why the scripture says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding in all of your ways. Acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. There's so much that we don't understand. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, Isaiah 55 says. His ways are higher than our ways. Our thoughts are not his thoughts. So will we trust him when we can't trace him? You know what? It takes faith to remain obedient, to obey God, to be a Christian and uphold a Christian sexual ethic in an out of control, anything goes sex-filled world in the 21st century. I mean, it takes faith to stay committed to one person in marriage and to stay faithful. And people think like that is so outdated. Christine, you've been married to one guy for 25 years. Like it's sort of like weird. It takes faith to have that kind of obedience, to continue to trust God, to be honest and integrous in a world that lacks honesty and integrity and truth. It takes so much faith to live opposite to the world's standards when it just seems like do what you want to do, be who you want to be. That's what the world would say. You find the real you. You decide who you are. No longer are we told go to the Word of God to find out who God says we are. It's like, who do you feel like being today? You can be that person. It takes faith to go countercultural and say, I'm building my life on the standard of the Word of God. I'm going to honor what God says. I'm going to trust what God says. I'm going to believe I am who God says I am and I can do what God says I can do, even if everything is screaming against that. It takes faith to deal with the inevitable disappointment and the discouragement and the disillusionment that's going to come. You will be disappointed. I'm not saying Christianity is kind of some quick fix self-help. You'll never be disappointed again or you'll get everything that you want. That is not Christianity. That's what a sugar daddy does. That's not God. It's not Christianity. Yes, people will hurt you. Yes, you will be betrayed. Yes, there will be disappointment. Yes, there will be discouragement. But you will learn what it is to lean on Jesus. You will learn what it is to go to him. You will find comfort. You will find hope. You will find healing. You will find strength that can only be found in him. It takes faith to navigate the injustice and suffering in our world and to have a world ridicule us and say, you Christians, if your God was real, how could there be that much injustice in the world? Well, the fact is it takes faith to keep believing God and know that God is good even when circumstances are not good. It takes faith to be a witness for Christ when you'll be persecuted for that. It takes faith. Because people don't want salt and light. They're like, we love our darkness. Leave us in our darkness. We don't want you to flavor our food. We just love living in the world that we live in. So it takes faith. It takes faith to hold on to the truth that God is good when life is not. It takes faith to keep following Jesus when we don't even know where we're going. It takes faith to keep believing when deep down, if we're honest, we'd say, I'm full of unbelief. It takes faith to stay strong and courageous when you feel weak and like crumbling. It takes faith to remain loyal and faithful to Jesus when everyone is vying for our attention and our attachments to things and to people and to ourselves are so great. It takes faith to live on purpose and to stay on mission when there are so many other attractions and distractions. It takes faith to let go and trust God. And it takes faith to hold on to Jesus. It takes faith to allow yourself to be carried by Jesus. But I want you to know that Jesus alone is worthy of our all. If He saved us and did nothing else for us, that is enough. But He came that you and I might have life and life more abundant. Can I tell you, our worst day with Jesus is better than our best day without Him. To whom shall we go? So whether we get what we think we want or not, we have Jesus. Jesus is the prize. Christ Himself is the reward given to me for the love and service that I offer Him. The same Jesus who gave Himself for me at Calvary. The same Jesus who saved me and keeps me and is still changing me by His grace. The same Jesus who will give Himself to us in a fullness of sweet, intimate, unbroken and unending fellowship forever. We don't only look back to the work of Christ in the past, we also look forward to fellowship with Christ in the world to come. He Himself is our hidden treasure. He is the pearl of great price. He is our very great reward. I have decided to follow Jesus. There's no turning back, no turning back.
Hey, thanks for listening. We really hope today's message has encouraged you. If you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. For links and more, you can go to christinecane.com. We'll see you next time.